Yeah. You just don't want it. You're good. Whatever. Oh, is it good? Let me ask you a question. Is it done?
Right. Same thing.
Did
right?
it happen? It's good. Moving on. Hello and welcome to episode 488 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
All right. What's going on, Adam?
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful weather. Yeah. Things are starting to look up.
Okay. Beautiful how? Sunny, warm?
Sunny and warm. Yeah, I think it's supposed to get actually really warm this weekend, so I'm excited.
Are you going to get a tan line on your face mask?
I haven't worn one, but...
Wait, what?
I haven't worn a face mask.
I thought you had to wear them.
Where?
On your face.
To go where?
I don't know.
I think...
Is it only America?
Yeah, you don't have to wear them here. And
okay.
And there were more masks 2 weeks ago. We went for a walk to Gary Point last night, and I did not see a mask. And I saw quadruple the number of people that I've ever seen. Yeah, it's changing quickly here.
Yeah, I think people have lost their nerve here as well. You have to wear a mask in a store. Like if you go inside of a store, you have to wear a mask.
Okay.
But in public, no, you do not. In fact, you are not even allowed to wear one. I'm going to say €500 fine for wearing one whilst driving.
Interesting.
Well, they're big on the photo speed tickets here.
Oh, I gotcha.
And thus, if they cannot recognize you because you're masking, then you're in big trouble.
Gotcha.
So I myself have gotten a number of these tickets, by the way. Not with the actual speeding tickets, not the mask ones. So I think I posted one on the show like last year, didn't I? I did.
I don't remember.
I think I posted my photo. The kicker is like most of them are basically permanent. Like they're just these towers that you see. They're sort of hidden. Like they don't, you know, they don't advertise them, although they kind of do. Because they're on all your GPS and all that stuff. And so the idea being, they'd really prefer that you just don't speed.
Right.
Versus, you know, like when we used to have the photo radar in British Columbia, when they would, you know, hide them at the bottom of a hill or something like that. And they're like, they really wanted you to speed because they made a bunch of money.
Right, yeah.
Whereas here, it's like, if you're going, you know, a little bit, if you're going a couple KMs over the limit, you don't get a ticket. A couple KMs over that, it's like $15. So it's, you know... Just more hassle than anything.
Mm-hmm.
After that, once you start going too fast, like way too fast, then you really get it. It gets expensive and you lose your license and all that stuff. But point being is most of them are permanent. They want you to slow down. And they do have the occasional moving around hidden ones. There you go. So no masks for that. That's the rule.
Okay, that was a great story.
Okay, I'll sit back and listen to your opus. Go.
I like the word opus.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good word.
I almost said magnum opus, but I didn't want to oversell it. Under promise, over deliver, Adam.
Right.
That's how my marriage works. So so you gotta wear a mask, but I do see people, the occasional person like wearing them outside, like riding their bike or something. And I don't get those people.
Yeah, outside is weird.
Outside, and if there was no insides, like if inside didn't exist, I don't think we would be even having this pandemic.
Right.
So there's that. Again, not a scientist. They're not calling on me to end this thing.
Right.
I'm just saying that generally speaking, I'm sure it has spread outside. Probably not to the extent on the as much as inside.
Correct. I think that part is been shown with evidence.
Ooh, yeah. We'll see. There's lots of at this point. I think you can get it from hoping that you don't get it. That's what I'm worried about. Amazon. If you need stuff, buy it on Amazon. Click through our site. Help us out. I've bought nothing this week. Just to let you down.
Okay.
You?
Did I order something?
Did the printer get there yet?
Yeah, but we haven't opened it yet because it's a birthday present. So she'll get it on her birthday. So it's still in the Amazon box. So yes, it has arrived. But no, we haven't opened it. I'm trying to think. I don't think so in this past week. Actually, you know what? We ordered something, but we haven't gotten it yet. We ordered, we like to do karaoke. I think we've talked about this many times on the podcast. And my microphone, I had bought like a good microphone from a music store like ages ago, probably now 7 years ago. And over the year, maybe longer, maybe 10 years ago. And over the years, it has been dropped numerous times. But we've definitely enjoyed the karaoke. Put up the screen, go on YouTube, look up any, karaoke track and then sing along. You have the microphone plugged into an amp and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, the microphone kicked it. Went on Amazon and looked for a replacement. The one we had was nice. And apparently just looking along for karaoke mics, found what people seem to love and DJs seem to use. And it was really cheap. So we'll see if it works out. It was like $35. So,
oh, really?
But everyone said the same thing in that, incredibly good value. And I figure I don't care if I buy two or three of these because they get dropped all the time anyway. So I didn't really want to invest in another good one considering how it gets mistreated. So I feel like this is a scenario where I'd rather just buy something that I'm not going to cry about if it gets thrown. And if it ends up being as good as what everyone says on Amazon, because there's tons of reviews, then I'll get another one.
I see. So really it's after you nail 99 Luft Balloons, you just do the mic drop and walk off.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's why you keep breaking them.
Pretty much.
Okay, good. Is it a Shure Brothers mic?
No.
Oh, piece of crap then. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
No, just kidding. There's plenty of good ones out there. I just wanted to know, because Shure is very popular, especially in what you're talking about.
Yes, they're also expensive.
They are a little more expensive than that. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to having a listen to that.
Yeah, and the cool thing about it is rather than having like, we have like the big antenna for a wireless mic, like that plugs into the amp and then the mic relays to the antenna and then the antenna to the amp. And you know, it's good, but that it's not foolproof. And even in a space of 20 feet, sometimes you get some static and noise from it. Because ours was an analog, not a digital. This one just has a tiny little receiver that plugs directly into the amp with a stereo jack. And it just runs on a couple of AA's, which we'll just use rechargeables. And apparently no static, none of those same problems. So I'm excited about such a simple little device that it seems like too good to be true. So we'll see.
All right.
Yeah.
Speaking of the whole pandemic and all that, they're starting to ease restrictions in BC, right?
Yes, yes. Well, they've come out yesterday or the day before. I think it was a couple days ago now, with sort of their plan. But our action plans are very vague, and they say, okay, we're in phase one right now, and the next 2 to 4 weeks will be phase two. And here's what things are included in phase two, which includes physiotherapy clinics reopening. But the problem is there's no guidelines yet. Things have to be all approved. And so they say this, but yet the government says this, but they've given no information to any of the private sector. So now it's like, hey, go ahead, figure it out. But it's got to comply with all of these regulations that we don't know what they are. You're going to deal with the health ministry. So we'll see how it all comes together. And then after that, there's phase three, which is even more vague than phase two. And basically phase three is where it ends. So everyone's got questions about when are schools reopening? What's that going to look like?
Oh, so you know, that hasn't been announced yet.
No firm dates, just schools, again, part of phase two, but it's not mandatory. So it's no, all in phase two, which is the next 2 to 4 weeks, schools, but it's voluntary and no one knows what that means. But basically, if you want to bring your kids to school, then there will be school in some fashion, but clearly it's going to be redesigned. Like they're not going to have, 25 kids in a classroom at a time. So it's all coming. But of course, the government's quick to say, all of this stuff, but without any plans in place because they haven't told any of the sectors what's going on. So there's yeah. still a lot of work to be done. But I'm going to say school, yes, in some form in the next month. Physiotherapy as well. Apparently, in talking to people that are still at the workplace, like, you know, administrative type people, physios aren't working in our clinic, but there are people taking phone calls. After the government's announcement, the day after, phone is ringing off the hook, like, when can we come in? But this is exactly the problem, is that, okay, the government announced that clinics will open, but we don't know exactly what we have to do to make sure we're sort of following the rules, more or less. So, yeah, hopefully things will be back soon, but it's the way it always goes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They announced a school's starting back up here, but not till June 15th. Like, that's the start day.
Okay.
Which, because there's about 2 weeks from, I think in 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks or something like that, is one of our 2 week holidays comes up. And so like one of the three spring breaks they get here in Germany. And so it's got a 2 week break coming up for Pfingsten, it's called, which is, what's it called? Pentecost, I think, in English. We don't celebrate it in Canada. I know that. But anyway, so we're going to take the next 2-3 weeks off, then have the break, and then come back on the 15th. And then the school goes until the end of July here, so that'll be about 6 weeks. But what they've done, like for my kids' school, is you know, grade ones and threes will go on, you know, go for 1 week, and then have a week off, and then the twos and fours, grade twos and fours, will go the next week, and back and forth like that.
Oh, I see. Week to week versus going like Monday, Wednesdays, or
yeah, I guess that is to give parents some sort of a semblance of a work schedule or something they can follow.
Right.
Good news is for me, like both my kids both go on the same week. They're both on the same week and then off the same week.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
So I mean, well, not as good as not having this all happen. That would be better.
Right.
But here's my actual question. I know you don't have an answer, but like, tell me what you think. Because they're easing restrictions here. Like I said, still no baseball in sight, which is I'm disappointed that I want to get out and play, but it's not a priority. It's not even in my top 10, believe it or not. Of things I'm enjoying what I am doing instead. The Freibad, the outdoor pool, not being open yet, that one's really grinding my gears though. That one
I feel like will be definitely less likely over the course of the summer.
Possibly. I mean, I can, it's hard to say because I could like swimming lengths and whatnot. Doesn't make sense. Like you should be able to have people in there. That I don't see that being a danger. Generally a self-selecting group, et cetera. But the big lawn, like the big open lawns and stuff where people can congregate and the pool where the kids can all play, that's a problem. Yes, that I can see. I can't imagine then opening the lanes up, you know, just for me. Probably not gonna
exactly
happen.
I was gonna say you can't have one without the other. It's just too much.
They could do it. It's Germany. You can have those kinds of rules here. But there's swim clubs. There's professional swimmers. There's triathletes and stuff like that who earn a living like that and sponsorship. And so there is money involved outside of myself. Because like German soccer, Bundesliga soccer, is supposed to be up and running in by next week. No fans, of course, but they're going to get that up like Bayern Munich will get up and start playing again and. Which is a big revenue generator, right? So, like, not just for them, but like for all the ancillary jobs. You think about like all the people involved in like the broadcasting of that. Like, I do understand all that aspect. But question I have is maybe you have an answer. I certainly don't, because they're going to gradually reopen here and keep a very close eye on the numbers. And if they get X number of infections, new infections, they will close back down again. That's the plan here.
Yeah.
So my question is, what is the end game? Like, what? Why did we close down in the first place? And which I mean, I think we know the answer to what we were told, anyways. Right. And then, what is the end game? What are we aiming for here? Go.
I think that they were primarily concerned about the medical system being overrun. That's really
flatten the curve.
where it started and ended was that if too many people got it all at once, then we weren't going to be able to care for them. So that was the primary reason. So now they saw the numbers. Well, here, I can't speak to everywhere else, but I've been paying attention closely to the situation here. The numbers are so low that it's pretty much non-existent. And therefore, we have no concerns at this stage about the medical system being overrun. So if people get it, that's not the concern. It's more, can they be cared for appropriately? And so we're at a stage now where that is not an issue. There's so few people in ICU. It's not an issue at all. So they're sort of thinking, okay, well, even if the problem was 10 times as bad as it is currently, it would still be well within our abilities to control that with the medical system. So that's why we're reopening. I can't speak to everywhere else because that's not the case everywhere, but that's our thinking here. And our economy can't afford to basically just continue to throw money at the problem. They just can't afford to. Like, the long-term implications of continuing to pay everyone to be off when it's not necessary, that's what they've determined. It's not necessary that everyone be off. We can care for them. So let's go back to work and let's make sure that there's still a world to recover here.
Which is the plan here as well. And like, no one's economy can weather this, you know, even for the two months now?
Yeah,
I mean, like we can weather it now. I think what we're seeing now is not the end of the world. Let's wait and see in 2 years. Like, the echo of this is going to suck. I mean, I don't want to be a naysayer because like all we see in the news is just like even as things calm down, I noticed that the in the news it was like, okay, well we're looking for some other doom and gloom that we can pump in here because. You know, we were not, like, the whole thing was, yes, we are going to be overwhelmed by this. This is going to be storming the beach at Normandy. And then it wasn't good. Like, it wasn't, obviously there's a lot of misery involved here, but it wasn't that overwhelming, you know, surge like they were potentially expecting, which is what the news was reporting on. And then when that didn't happen, it was like, okay, well, whatever, what else can we report? Oh, life will never be the same, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So my thinking here is, so I understand that, like, we're going to try to reopen and there's a big awareness. And so people are still going to be, hopefully for the most part, aware that, you know, life isn't the same right now. We do need to keep distance. We can still be aware. We can still we can keep this thing at bay, relatively speaking, with minor restrictions versus going crazy, as long as we all kind of adhere to some common sense.
Right.
Now, if it gets out of hand again and they have to shut down again, that's the part that gets confusing to me because I don't imagine we're going to be overwhelmed in the hospital. So the curve has been flattened. I don't imagine the curve getting worse. So that's the one reason. So number two, the reason I can think of that we shut down was, holy cow, this is brand new. We do not know what this is. We need to catch our breath. Everybody go home and give us some time to figure out what this is. Which I don't know if we have any answers really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some potentially, but I don't think it's, you know, definitely not solved yet. So that was one reason to shut down. Another reason would be, all right, well, let's just hunker down until a vaccine comes, which I personally don't think is a realistic strategy.
No. And I think they've realized that's not a strategy.
Some people may have. You know, I do see some, but whatever. Okay. And then the fourth one is, okay, if it gets out of, if it starts rising again and we go back under lockdown or quarantine or whatever we're calling it, stay at home, there is the potential. Now this is going to take some serious fortitude, which I don't know if we have that kind of time or that kind of fortitude to do it. This could conceivably be choked out. This virus could go away on its own.
Okay.
Not on its own. Like we there's going to be some serious sacrifice. Like there's some serious, like you, it's going to suck for a while. But again, I'm not a doctor. I'm just kind of going by a lot of the scientific stuff I've read and different sort of studies. The big rip on, you know, with this one is it is so much more contagious at an early stage than the SARS was. So SARS was a lot from like whatever it was 18 years ago, 17 years ago, which was a similar kind of thing. they didn't get a vaccine. They never developed a vaccine because they managed to choke it off before they needed a vaccine. It went away for the most part. So that this can happen. It's just that it's not going to happen in 2 months. That's the thing. It's going to take a lot longer of people being very aware of this, get the R naught number, the reinfection rate way, way down. It has to go way. I think it's around like 0.6, 0.7 in Germany right now. Probably lower in BC. If you keep it below one, it will go away. It takes quite a while. But if you keep it like below 0.2, somewhere down there, this will go away. Issue being, you're looking at closed borders, et cetera, because, you know, can you assume that everybody else did it? Like, look at New Zealand, for example. That's kind of who I'm watching. Everyone says, you know, hey, yeah, much smaller country, but they choked it off. I think they have like a handful of cases in all of New Zealand, and that's that. So, Adam, you're a doctor. What's going to happen?
We're going to go back to work, and people are going to be more conscious. And in 10 months from now, they'll have a vaccine. And after the vaccine, people have short memories, and they'll go back to the way things are or were, with okay, very, very slight modifications. And again, that's human nature in a nutshell, I think, is that, you know, we have short memories already. I mean, can you believe that it's been, you know, in quarantine for 2 months? I mean, it feels like, okay,
three weeks,
2 weeks. Time seems to be passing quickly. And
this podcast.
Yeah, not during this podcast, but I do think that people have very, very short memories when it comes to this. And this will be kind of like in a year from now or 2 years from now, whenever we're all vaccinated, it'll be, you know, just a sort of anecdote in our history.
I agree with almost all of that. My call is you're right. In about 10 months, you know, like potentially there will be a second wave, a much smaller second wave, is I think, because people are conscious of this for the most part, at least where we are and where you are, and I'm not sure of all around the world, but there will be a smaller second wave, which we can handle, and I think it will choke off in the 10 months. I don't think there's going to be a vaccine. That's where you and I are going to part ways. And maybe in 10 months, we'll look back on this interview. We won't. But we can see who was right, who was wrong. And if I'm wrong and there's a vaccine, hey, I'm happy to be wrong. If I'm right and it chokes off on its own, I'm happy to be right.
Okay.
Either way, it can go away now. There you go. So real quick, lots more work in the shop. That's what I've been doing instead of taking pictures. A lot more work in the shop. I built a shop cabinet because I had extra plywood, and I wanted to learn how to build a proper door, like a panel inlay door.
Okay.
And I did.
Yay.
Yeah. It turns out I really need a dado blade, but they are not allowed in Europe because they're too dangerous, apparently. So there's that. Dado stacks not allowed in Germany, which is understandable, because a friend of mine who's a shop teacher, you know him, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he lost a finger to a dado blade. He's a shop teacher, so I get it. But I guess I'm getting a router. What do you think? Probably get a router?
Yes.
Okay, I'll get that, because I do want to make a ton more. I'm going to make a whole bunch more cabinets. I'm going to end up redoing my kitchen, and that's why I wanted to learn how to make proper doors, because I'll make all my own cabinets instead of the IKEA ones. But yesterday I caulked the baseboards and the door frames that I had put in a while ago. I'd never finished caulking them.
Okay.
So I did that. You ever done a lot of caulking?
Mm-hmm.
Have you? Is this a joke?
Just the bathroom. In the bathrooms, the sinks, the tub, that's
Oh, that's more of, is that silicone or caulking or what?
Yeah, it's silicone.
Yeah.
But it's
either
still
way.
It's called caulking, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Well, one's specifically silicone and one's not, whatever. I don't know. I bought both, one for the bathroom, one for the rest of the house. But I learned here's a valuable tip. If you're, because I've never done a lot of caulking, and or any, really. Maybe some. But anyways, so here's a little tip for you. If you're brand new to it, start with someone else's house. And then once you get good at it, then do your own house, because it's not as easy as you think. Like it's, you can do it, but to be a real artist at it, I think takes the 10,000 hours, man. And I was on hour one, and like, this isn't good. Can we move? I'm getting out of here. I'm selling the house. But ended up figuring it out. Looks good. Got it all in there, and painted up around right around the edges now, and so now it's like a real pro job. But that's what I've been doing with my time this week. That's why when I said like the time flies, it flies. Like this week has flown by. Friday to Friday when we record, I was like, holy cow! Like as we'll see with my photo challenge later, it's like, yeah, I didn't take my photo challenge, you know. So anyway, one last thing before we get on to the rest of the show. Photo-wise, this one's photo-related. You ever see a movie called The Untouchables?
A long time ago. I haven't watched it recently.
What's on Netflix here in Germany, probably where you are too, I highly recommend it. I hadn't seen it in a long time. I saw it in the theater, obviously when it came out, what, 87, I think? Great movie. Love it. Great performances. Young Kevin Costner and
Sean Connery, right?
Sean Connery. Charles Martin Smith, who you might remember from Never Cry Wolf. Played Farley Mowat in Never Cry Wolf. I can tell by your...
I've never seen that movie.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know...
Do you know who Farley Mowat is?
Yes.
Okay.
I've never seen the movie.
He's an author.
No, I've never seen the movie you're talking about.
Okay. Well, he wrote a book called Never Cry Wolf, where it's about himself going off into the like northern and the Yukon or whatever it is, and studying wolves and mice. It's a whole thing, but whatever. It's a movie from 1983 where he goes up and lives with the wolves, and it's a great Canadian movie, and Charles Martin Smith is the star of it. He's also in American Graffiti and in The Untouchables. And also, I did talk to him one time on a BC ferry. So that's his career right there. Those three movies and meeting me in Victoria.
You asked him to pass the sugar.
No, I went and said hello because then say, hey, man, I'm a humongous fan. I mean, most probably from American Graffiti first. Terry the Toad is an iconic character. But anyway, point being, we watched it again. My wife and I watched it again the other day, and I guess I hadn't seen it. I haven't seen it in 15 years, and didn't realize how well they lit that movie. Like I remember it being like a lot of hard light, a lot of like a lot of gobos being used, which there are. There's like a lot of shooting through blinds and stuff like that. Putting the lights through blinds and having hard shadows and stuff like that. But I did not know that they went with the orange and the teal, the orange and the blue lighting as much as they did. And it is amazing. So do yourself a favor, check it out. Watch for all the mixed lighting. It is fantastic.
Okay.
In France, Les Untouchables. Look for it there.
Okay.
No, okay. All right, reminder, monthly challenge. Speaking of that, a monthly challenge is art. Maybe I'm going to do that. Maybe I'm going to do some hard lighting with some blinds, which we don't have here in Europe. We don't have those Venetian blinds, oddly, even though they're from Venice, apparently, with some red, with some blue and orange mixed. That could be my art.
Sounds amazing.
Hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers. Even better, do both of those and tag us at Two Hosers on Instagram, and we will check that out. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Did I? Nope, just the photo challenge. No, I haven't done any photography.
If you have to think about it, the answer is no.
Yeah, I didn't shoot anything interesting.
Me neither. Photo-wise, I did nothing. Like, not a one. I went and looked. I was like, oh, man, I must have shot. What did I shoot this week? And I went and looked. The last thing I shot was the album cover from last week. And so I was like, yep, yeah, nothing. Not a thing. However, we did shoot a little short film with my kids.
Okay.
Because I've been wanting to get them to shoot a movie for the last couple of weeks. And my my daughter just, she's been dragging her heels, doesn't want to do it. No, daddy, no, daddy. And then finally, I said, okay, well, tomorrow we'll do it. We'll get some props. We'll do this. And she just broke down in tears. Just did not want to do it. It's like, well, what's going on? Daddy, I don't want to go out in the woods and have it be creepy. What did you think we were doing? Like, that's not what I said. Like, we're going to make an adventure movie. No, daddy, it's creepy. And she just cried. That was it. Like, I was like, oh, no. Like, she doesn't know what I'm talking about. So I said, okay, guys, we're just going to make a short film. It's just going to be you guys getting up, getting your clothes on, going to school, that kind of thing. Like, you're in your pajamas, you wake up, your clothes are on, you walk down the stairs, that's it. Like, it's really about nothing.
Except for your zombies and
Freddy Krueger.
This movie is inspired by Stanley Kubrick.
Yes. Yeah. It's a Stephen King, based on the Stephen King novel. Oddly, so you're in prison for killing your wife, but you didn't do it. Do you have a Rita Hayworth poster? Because you're going to need it. So anyways, I said, no, like the movie is so inconsequential that like I'm not even going to share it with you. The whole point was to show them what the process is. And so we did it. We went and shot in my son's room and shot all his, like a whole bunch of different shots of him, you know, getting up and picking out clothes and stuff like that. Same thing with my daughter and whatever. And then they came out of the rooms, high-fived, walked out, and went, that was it. And they thought nothing of it. And then we sat down and started editing it. But there's no sound because I'm just yelling directions to them while, like, it's like an old silent film, like an old Chaplin film, right? That's what they used to do, just yell. And so we sat down and just cut the visuals together first with no audio at all. And they thought, okay, this is kind of cool. And then I said, well, but in the morning, like, you know, like, what do you hear in the morning? Oh, well, yeah, birds chirping. So we added the sound effect of birds chirping in the background. And they thought, oh my, like, what? Holy, you can do that? You know, and so we did that. I said, and then, like, you know, the alarm goes off. I said, we added the sound of an alarm, and my daughter thought that was fantastic. And we did all of that. And then at the end, I said, you know what we need a little bit of music. And I just laid in some, you know what I did? It was the David Foster theme to St. Elmo's Fire. I added that in. I love that song. I love, like, the original, the instrumental one, the Rick Hansen Man in Motion one. Love it.
Sure. Yeah.
Big, what? David Foster, come on.
Yeah, no.
So anyway, laid that in. And so I laid that in and played it back the first time. My son literally leapt out of his seat. Like, he couldn't believe, like, there's music underneath it, and he was just so excited. He just jumped across the room and gave me a big, giant hug. I said, Daddy, we're going to make more movies. So that's the plan. We're going to make a movie next week.
And by the third one, they'll be like, this is stupid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not even 3D, Dad. This is nonsense. So, oh no, my son's already, like, figuring out how he can involve his friends and who's going to play the villain. He's in for it.
Okay.
So, yeah. And my daughter's already starting to throw up so she can look good on camera. She's like, oh, I'm kind of heavy. And I'm like, yeah, you could lose a few. You could lose a few pounds. Camera adds 10 pounds, sweetie, all right? Like, you're not going to be eight forever. You want to strike while the iron's hot.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. All right, who's got some fen-fen? All right, let's do this. Lights. All right. Anyways, topic. No, not topic. Photo challenge this week. Should I start again? Can we just start from the top of the show? Hello and welcome. Photo challenge this week was fun. Because, you know, not really having any.
Right.
But you are. Your son is.
Sure.
What's going on here? Is he actually having fun? Is he loving? Is he a Yahtzee kid?
We've been playing a lot of Yahtzee.
I almost bought that. How do your kids take that? They like that?
They love Yahtzee.
Okay.
Mostly Jack. Sarah's a little bit too cool for Yahtzee, but she plays it occasionally. Jack and I play Yahtzee on the daily, and usually three or four games, and we have our high scores on the fridge. Like, we are Yahtzee maniacs. And so I just thought that we would make a new cover for the box. So I put the box there. It has, like, you know, the dice falling out of a cup. And then I had Jack, you know, drop the dice. So he's definitely, this is a posed Yahtzee shot, but this is basically where we play our Yahtzee. So I thought we'll make it authentic. And I wanted to, you know, get the dice falling out of the cup, something, something that showed some action. So, and then we of course put the box in the picture just to make sure we're really hammering the message home. This is Yahtzee. This isn't another game that you play with dice from a cup.
No, for sure. There's no question. Yeah. This isn't Snake Eyes or whatever other game you could think of. The I've not seen the cover of Yahtzee. Are there people on the cover?
No, just that we're making a better cover. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So I'm just going based on what we had been playing. We haven't in a while, but we have Jenga. Jenga was our game.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people on the cover of that having way too much fun.
Right.
Like, it's as if they are winning the lottery while skydiving. That's how much fun they're having. And it's like, there's no way you're having that much fun. It's not possible. And so my one criticism of this shot is that your son is having fun. That's no question. However, you know where this would become an actual cover is if he can somehow have his eye line be both at where the dice are going to fall, like he has it, but also up at an imaginary person to signal that he is indeed having fun with them.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
That's the people on the cover are always engaged with the other black and Asian and pick another person of color. Like they have like the album, the covers are one of everything.
Right.
On the jam, it doesn't matter. Oh, there's the Sri Lankan guy having, like you have to have one of every, the covers are getting very jammed now. So that's what he has to be looking at. Somebody else at the same time, but while looking down there, which from is hard to do.
From a photographic standpoint, this is on camera flash with the black foamy thing. Yeah, bounced flash, black foamy thing. Haven't used it in a while. Figured before I shot this that I was definitely going to use the black foamy thing just to make it sort of shape the light a little bit, make it look like it's lit. And at the same time,
which you're bouncing it over your right shoulder.
Yeah. Back right shoulder. So that's why you get that bit of contrast there, but not too much, and able to do it in high speed sync because it was at a point where I could control most of the light in the room, and high speed sync was enough flash to just give a little flick of light and also to allow me to.
Oh, so this is mostly ambient with a little flash added.
Yeah. And so the flash. Yeah, exactly. So the flash basically. It gives me the freeze on the dice. So
right. Interesting use. It's rare that you use high speed sync in a bounce situation, but if you only need like a little flick of light, and in this case, like you could conceivably do this with 100% flash, like just in regular flash, and then stop it down to like, you know, ISO 100.
Yeah, and then 1/64th power or something.
Yeah. But you'd have to choke out all the ambient light in order to freeze those dice.
Right, and then you also might not, at that power, light the background so evenly.
True, possibly. Well, you could at that point you could drag the shutter. But I think I would go the way you did. It's probably the simple way to.
Yeah, this was super simple. So two or three test shots. I think he gave me three shots at this. So I liked this one because of the dice all being separated. I'd like, again, this is a dice game. The shot's about the dice. He's there as a prop for the dice. And the dice look amazing in this shot, in my opinion.
They do.
Yeah.
The only way it would look better is if they were all sixes coming out, but that's really hard to do.
Oh, that would have been sweet.
Or actually, I'll be honest, in this case, all fives because there's five dice and he's wearing his five tool baseball shirt.
Sure. And his shirt matches the red. You see that?
Oh, yes.
With the box and with the cup, it's all matching. Like that was just a happy accident.
Oh, and his black shorts match the little dots on the dice too.
Oh, beautiful.
There's a lot of symbolism going on here.
Yeah.
I think you may have just won this one.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Let's have a look at mine. Here's me and my daughter wearing bowls as hats.
That's fun.
which isn't fun on its own until you flash back 8 years and see those same bowls on those same heads.
Wow. That makes it fun.
Now it was fun. So now we were having a lot of fun. I don't know. We had fun. I don't know about your snarky attitude.
Okay.
Maybe go lock that outside of the house. We were talking about this. So this week I didn't know what I was going to shoot and thought, oh man, like we were talking about it a couple days ago. My wife and I and my kids, and we're laughing about this photo. This photo came up of me and my daughter and how she like loved to play in that drawer of our old apartment. So we talked about the specific photo. And I said, oh, that's it. We're going to recreate that. We're going to have some fun. We had a lot of fun that day playing with. It's fun when your daughter is one to do that. Now it's weird when she's eight or I guess nine. She'll be nine soon. So that's the 8 years, hence the 8 year difference.
Right.
It's about 7.5 years difference between these two photos. I was rounding up and now I got caught in a lie. So anyways, I said, you know what? Let's recreate that. And I think it looks almost identical. It's hard to tell the difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So there's that. Although I could go for a pedicure once this quarantine opens up. Feet have seen better days.
Yeah.
So anyway, thoughts?
I like it.
Okay.
I like, well, this is kind of what we were talking about, right? Like this is on the heels of that quarantine challenge that I was talking about that my kids got assigned for school. We talked about that on the air, right?
You know what? We did. That was not even part of this. That's just a happy accident. You're right.
But that had to be in your subconscious because it's way too.
No, it is now. No, because this wasn't my idea, and I didn't share that story with anybody else. This was my wife was talking about how much fun this was, and hey, you should shoot it again now. But now that you mention it, you're right. You're 100% right. I remember talking. I think we talked on the air. Wasn't it your photo challenge last week?
Yeah, because I was saying, I don't know if it was my photo challenge. I can't remember. What was my photo challenge last week?
I don't know.
No, it wasn't, because I said the kids got assigned this. This was a quarantine challenge, and Jack ended up picking a picture of him catching a baseball when he was little, and right. we reshot it because it's so goofy looking, and we reshot it now. And so we that was his submission for his weekly quarantine challenge for school, was this reshoot an old photo. So we had talked about that specifically during the podcast. So then I thought, oh, you like the idea, and so then you ran with it in your own version. So that's weird that you didn't.
I do like the idea, not the impetus for this. Wow, there you go. That's weird.
Okay.
Yeah. So for this one, as you can see, that was taken at 4:45. Today we started, that was 45 minutes before we hit record. So that's the state of affairs I'm at with my photo challenge, just like yourself. I thought, oh, you know what I could do? I could clean up the kitchen. I did the dishes earlier. I cleaned that up, or just leave it, just walk away, just leave it in the photo. Cause I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided rather like the other one, the one from 8 years ago was just a snapshot my wife took. Which you can see there's a little bit of light coming in from camera left in the window. Mm-hmm. And that's about it. Everything else is just a snapshot. But so I decided this time, I was like, you know what? I'm going to light this one. And so I think this is pretty much, I'll say 99% lit, probably almost zero available light. So I put a light outside with a CTO on it, blasted in for those shadows. And then had a light inside bounced into the ceiling to just kind of fill up the inside a little bit to balance it out. And that's how we got that light on a tripod. That was it. The only difference is I had to zoom out, like go much wider with the angle than I thought I would because my daughter is so tall.
Okay.
Yeah. A bit of a surprise there. So other than that, fun.
Yay.
Yeah, all right. All right, real quick topic this week. You were telling me that you've been going through some photos. You said, hey, my daughter's got a birthday coming up. Can you have my kids send a video saying happy birthday? Which was that what you expected, by the way, the one I sent?
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing longer, nothing. Okay.
No, just nice, quick. Yeah, because I'm compiling a whole bunch of them, so I don't want it to be
right.
Plus I'm putting a slideshow together, so I didn't want it to be like 20 minutes long.
That's what I figured. I figured we'd just try to, you know, get
in. Yeah, anything under 30 seconds was kind of my intent.
Which I think we're at
12, yeah, most think. People are around that, like 15 okay, seconds good. Or so. Yeah. No, yours is perfect.
Yeah. Okay, good. Whew. So there's that. So you said you're doing that, and then you're going through old photos and kind of reminiscing. So it was kind of funny because you told me this after I had taken this photo, this reminiscing photo, which I can't tell if you're being facetious or not, saying it was a little bit creepy or eerie. Regardless, here we are reminiscing. What tell me about your experience right now about reminiscing about photos. Why now? Besides, I guess just the birthday, right?
Yeah. So I basically decided I was going to go back until I didn't want like the, I didn't go back to like the first, say, 3 months of my daughter's life photos. I probably started around eight or 10 months. And the idea was I wanted the photos to kind of look like her. And when they're babies, they don't really look like anything. And so I figure at 6-8 months in that range, they start looking a little bit, at least resembling who they are now. So I started there and I just kind of went through photos. There's way too many photos. That's the other thing is I took way too many photos in those first couple of years. So I just kind of skimmed through and then I started putting in photos into a separate folder that I was going to use in a slideshow. And the funny thing is I decided to use almost all photos that have like she's probably never seen. So there's so many photos that I was able to like, hey, I could go with the greatest hits ones, the ones that are in frames or in albums that she's seen a million times. Like my wife makes her books like yearly sort of yearbooks, and you do the same for your kids, I know. And so there's a lot of photos that they've seen a million times. And so I thought I'm going to kind of go off the beaten path here. There's so many good photos. Exactly. So this slideshow is almost entirely photos that she's probably never seen before. And then I just kind of go through the years. So there's a lot of little ones because I know she's going to love that part. Like kids love it when they see themselves when they're little, whether it's video or photos. And so I'd say it's probably 50% in the first 3 years. And then after that's the other 50%. So, it's great fun. And I suggest everyone kind of do this while they have time, while they're still in a little bit of quarantine is go back and have a look at those photos, whether you've got kids or not, whether it's of yourself or you and your friends. Just go look at
photos of people in crowds.
Sure. Do that. But it is
what planet's that on?
It is great fun doing this. And the other thing I came across is, you know, we've talked about slideshow music in the past. And if you go online and you start searching up slideshow music and what's a good slideshow song to make a slideshow for your kid, you're not going to get a lot of great suggestions. That's what I found.
No, you're right.
The music, you hear a lot of the same songs. A lot of them are very dated. They don't hold up for something that I think, you know, is sort of interesting or modern day that isn't, you know, graphic in terms of inappropriateness for kids. Like
just well, that's 99% of songs, though.
Yeah. And so anyways, would you like to hear the greatest slideshow song, I think, in the last 10 years? It's a modern song. It is so good for a slideshow.
You're not going to use just one, right?
No, I'm going to use two songs.
Okay.
In my mind, I wanted something kind of classic that would suit her, but also I wanted it to be done acoustically. I like songs redone. I think we've talked about that. And I wanted an acoustic song. So my daughter has...
So wait. So this is the last 10 years.
So the song that I've chosen?
Yeah.
And this was a song suggested to me by my wife. So she
okay.
This,
so hang on. I'm going to add to, because I like all that you're saying. I do like songs that are redone acoustically.
That's not this though. I have two songs and the second one is redone acoustically. Yeah.
But very specifically to add on to that, not only do I like songs that are redone, like cover songs, but done acoustically and done well. I also, I don't know why, I can't tell you why, I like songs that are originally done by men that are redone acoustically by women.
Yeah, I think this is fits all your ticks all your okay. boxes. Yeah,
and also has the F word a lot.
Yes, has to be at least 11 times.
Okay, so it's like if the movie Goodfellas was sung by a woman. Hey, Adele, can you do an acoustic version of Goodfellas? Go.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so what songs did you pick?
Okay, so the song that I'm raving about, and feel free anybody to steal this, because you will if you want to make a slideshow, is it's called Have It All by Jason Mraz. Do you know that song?
I don't. I know Jason Mraz, but I do not know that specific song.
Okay, when you pull that song and listen to the lyrics, I mean, it's easy to understand, follow along. It's got a nice kind of tempo to it, and the words are fantastic. You will have your next slideshow song.
Do you think Jason Mraz wears shoes?
I don't know, and I don't mind if he doesn't.
He seems like a guy who doesn't wear shoes 99% of the time.
He might not. Now
just,
I feel
just by listening to his voice. Okay, go ahead. So Have It All, and what's the other one?
And then the acoustic redone song by a female artist, all the boxes you've ticked, is a version of Brown Eyed Girl.
Oh, by who?
Oh, I don't know, because I don't have that information in front of me
like
right
Sarah
now.
Sarah Harmer or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's someone. Like, again, if you go on to, I subscribe to Spotify, there's
yes.
probably 20 different versions of Brown Eyed Girls, okay. some of which are acoustic. I just picked one that was just, it just kind of made me get the shivers. And I'm like, yep, that's
now, do they cut out that one lyric though?
Which lyric?
Something, something in the green grass.
Oh, I think I just self-edited the song.
Radio edit.
Yeah. To be what I wanted. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause your daughter has no clue. That's true. Kids these days have not heard any of that on the internet. So
yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, she'll be fine.
Yeah, don't even worry about it. All right, I look forward to seeing that.
So yeah, so there's that, and then so again, yeah, just the exercise and going through old photos is awesome. Do it.
Are you feeling particularly sentimental these days that you're in lockdown?
Not really. I've spent
me neither.
So much time with my kids. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going the other way. I'm like, I'm actually going to burn some old photos. This is like, there's too much. There's too much of this. We should see other families. This yes. is enough.
Yeah.
What is it that you like specifically about the old photos?
I like that there's, especially if you go back to my early beginnings as a photographer, there's so many good moments, and I don't know, I'm probably overcritical of myself about a photo, and
so many good moments that are almost in focus.
Well, it's just you look at it and you accept it for what it is, a cool moment. And you know, there's a lot of times, like the photos, a lot of the photos I used are very I would say poor from a critical photographer's eye, but yet there's such great moments. And that's that, I don't know, something about early photos of kids, they don't need to be perfect. In fact, a lot of them are better when they're not perfect or not even close to perfect. So it's those imperfections that sort of make it so good. Like they look like old Polaroids. They're just, you know, there's not a lot of attention to the background. There's not, they just get smiley kid faces. And I think if I had these photos and I had the skills that I have now, I don't think I'd like them as much if I...
No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right, because I think about like, even that. I was going to make a joke in the video I sent you for your daughter's birthday yesterday. If you look carefully in the background, you can see some old trash bags, like some trash bags full of grass clippings. And I thought about it after we shot it, and I was like, well, that didn't need to be in the background. But it's pretty far off. You probably would have not even noticed, but now you will. But to me, like though in those old photos, that's kind of funny. Like you remember... Because maybe that shed that's in the background there, I might get rid of that in a year or two, and that will then exist in the background of a photo. And so, you know, backgrounds that you don't necessarily think are excellent are a bit of a time capsule to that period, you know? Like when you're down at Gary Point and you have, you know, Pajos in the back, you're like, I don't need a fish and chip place, but it was there. And you'll look at that one day and go, oh yeah, Pajos was there. Now they sell. They're probably still there. I don't know.
But they are. Yeah.
No. But in 10 years, I mean. So I do like those imperfections. There's also a cutoff point, and I don't know exactly when it was, but I like photos of my kids before they understood what photos were.
Mm-hmm.
And they once they sort of became self-aware, the game changed a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed.
And even though I don't show them the picture, like I still to this day do not show them the back of my camera. I've been steadfast with that. Hey, yeah, can I see it? No, you know you can't. You're going to live your life, but they do see them later, and now they are aware of the photos, and so it changes the game a little bit. On that note, I included a couple of reminisce. I went back and I was like, I'm going to pick a photo from, like one of our first trips to Canada, my daughter and my when she was a little baby in the house I grew up in as a kid. And that was kind of reminiscent. So this is just one of the many photos I shot. And so I just decided to include this. Blam, there's my daughter.
Okay.
And while I was looking at that, though, that same week, I came across one of your son who enjoys Nutella, evidently.
Yep, sure does.
Sure does. So, yeah, I kind of... Do you remember where that was taken?
No.
That was taken at your brother-in-law's place in Richmond.
Okay.
Yeah, they had a little barbecue out in the front yard. And yeah, that's where that was taken. This was inside, but that was taken there. So that leads up to my next and probably final question. How is your memory of the actual event? How does it change? How does your memory of the event change now that you see photos, say, 10 years later?
Well, I have no memory of the event. So
okay. Not specifically this one. I meant in general.
It definitely becomes more positive, I think, in all situations for me. Seeing photos, no matter whether it was a negative experience that I'm seeing a photo about, like the photo, generally speaking, makes me happier when I think about it. So I guess I see the good in the photos, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it to me too. But specifically for me, I find that as, time marches on, like 10 years later, et cetera, a lot of the, like in this case, all of the details for you, but the peripheral details start to fall away.
Mm-hmm.
And it all becomes about that one photo. So whatever ends up happening, like everybody has a history. Maybe you and your wife, maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but you probably didn't, but maybe you got into a fight on the way to that barbecue. And so that may have colored your attitude of that, what was going on in that photo. Maybe at the back of your mind, you're like, oh man, I can't believe, she said that or whatever. Now it was obviously something stupid and then fell off in the background. You don't even remember it happened. And so now 100% of the focus is on Nutella face.
Right.
For example, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
A lot of that inconsequential things that color your perspective at the time tend to fall away, and yet we have this persistence. I think it was that Dali guy, wasn't it? Persistence of memory?
Sure.
Yeah, write it down. That's FYI, if you go to the Dali Museum in Spain, which I did last summer, that's the one painting they don't have there. The one, like the only one I really care to see was the one that's not there.
Perfect.
So put that on your Yelp, okay? All right. Monthly challenge for next month is art. Hashtag that. Hey Hosers. Hashtag Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Even better, do those two and tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram. We will check that out at the beginning of June. Challenge for next week, Adam. I'm going to think outside the box. Force your hand a little bit and mine. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Sunday. That's the challenge. And not Sunday like ice cream. The day Sunday.
Okay.
Meaning let's get it out of the way ahead of time this week.
Mm-hmm.
If you shoot your Sunday one on Friday afternoon, I'm going to be, or Friday morning, I'm going to be choked.
Okay.
Okay, done. All right, websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com. The two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.